Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Thanks so much for coming. Great singing, as usual. And we're appreciative of all the work that goes in behind the scenes in our worship team to bring that for us every week. So give them a hand. Great job. We know there's a lot of great churches here in Auburn, so thanks for coming here this morning. We appreciate it so much. We're going through the book of Ruth, so if you have your Bible or your Bible app, let's all go again to the Old Testament, find that little book wedged in between a couple of the bigger books. It's the eighth book in from the beginning of your Bible. It's a little four-chapter book, the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth. We're calling it Journey because the story of Ruth is about her journey with God. Her journey with God. We opened up a couple of weeks ago talking about a woman named Naomi and her husband and two kids that moved from the promised land to enemy territory. And we unpackaged that journey with them over the last couple of weeks. And this morning, we're going to be coming to a new turning point in the story where we learn about a life reset. A life reset. How many of you have ever gotten to the point where you said, you know what? I need a fresh start in life. And either you hit rock bottom from something or God was working on your life and you just said, you know, I just need a reset. I need to push that button and just kind of start over from today. Now, we all do this in little ways, right? We make maybe some New Year's resolutions or we listen to a podcast or we read a blog and it really inspires us to make a change. We do little resets all the time. This year, at the new year, I decided, you know, maybe I've been doing a lot of hiking in the last part of last year, but I need to get back to the gym a little bit. So I started going back to the gym. And for the first time ever in my life, as I was on one of the machines at the gym, one of the employees came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Sir, are you okay? Are you all right?" Okay. And it was a little embarrassing because I was on the stretching machine, okay? I wasn't even like working. I was just like, wow. So resets are embarrassing sometimes. They're hard. But what we want to talk about today is like a major reset. Like one of those pivotal points in our lives. We see Naomi and Ruth have declared it's time for a reset. It's time for a major fresh start. And they're doing it for different reasons. They're on different journeys. We saw at the beginning of our study that there's three journeys in the book of Ruth. There is a journey away from God. There is a journey toward God. And there's a journey back to God. Those are the three journeys in the book of Ruth. And I think those three journeys are laid out for us because all of us can stop our life and identify which of those three journeys we're currently on. Either we're walking away from the Lord and moving toward enemy territory, or we're walking toward the Lord in His joy and His goodness, or maybe we've realized we've been drifting some and we need to return to the Lord. So those three journeys are in the book of Ruth. And this morning we're in chapter 1, verses 6 down through verse 18. I wanted to read those for us so that we can get the gist of what we're talking through this morning. Verse 6 of chapter 1, "Then Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab," that's enemy territory, "for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." So the journey that Naomi is on is a journey returning to the Lord. She's drifted away. She's moved with her family from the promised land to enemy territory, the land of Moab. And now, after 10 years, she's decided, you know what? I need a fresh start. And I need to return to where God wants me to be. Verse 8. "And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt kindly with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they said to Naomi, 'No, but we will surely return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Let's pause right there. In the ancient world, if you had a son who married a woman and your son died, it was your job as the mother-in-law to produce another son that your now widowed daughter-in-law could marry later in life, because sons were the protection for your future. They were kind of like your social security. They were cared for you when you're old. And so Naomi understands, if you're going to go with me, I'm going to have to be responsible for you. So she continues, and she says there in verse 12, "Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, even if I have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters," and there's a really key verse in verse 13, "for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, then she said, "Behold, your sister has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you." And here's this great phrase that we love, these great phrases. "For where you go, I will" what? "Where you lodge, I will" what? "Lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Wow, what a statement. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, Naomi said no more to her. What we're going to find this morning is these two resets. Naomi's reset is a return to the Lord. She moved from the promised land to enemy territory, and now she wants to return. Ruth also wants a major reset in her life, but her reset is different. She grew up in enemy territory, and now for the first time, she wants to go find God in the promised land. So we have two resets in our story today. One is a reset to find God and to enter into that relationship with Him. The second reset is Naomi's return to God. And maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're watching, and God has been working in your life and on your life, and He has been challenging you to have a major reset. Maybe today's the day when you're going to return because you've been drifting. Maybe today's the day you're going to finally open your life to God for the first time because you've been sensing that He's been knocking on the door of your heart. So let's look at these two resets. The first one is Naomi's reset, and her reset is a return to God and the promised land. Look at verse 6. We're going to see three ingredients for a return to God. And I think as we look at these three ingredients, we would say that those three ingredients are still the same ingredients for us today. Anybody that's been drifting, anybody that's been running from God, if we want to return to God, here's how we do it. Verse 6. Then Naomi, what'd she do there? What does it say? She arose. She got up. She made a decision. "I've been wandering, 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 but today is the day I'm going back." The first thing that we see in Naomi's life is a decision to return. And you'll notice in verses 6 and 7, there's the word return is used multiple times. Verse 6, "Then she arose that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited His people and given them food." Verse 7, "So she departed from where she was with her two daughters-in-law, that they went on the way to return to the land." The first thing that we see in Naomi's return to God and where He wants her to be is a decision is made. She decided, and she rose and put that decision into action. Verse 6. The second thing that we notice is that she detaches herself from some things. In verse 7, this is so interesting. Look at verse 7. "So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-laws with her." But then look at verse 8. "And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, 'No, go and return to your mother's house.'" Wait a minute. She, in verse 6, decides to return, and she takes her daughters-in-laws with her. Verse 7 says they started on their journey, but in verse 8, she changes her mind and says, no, daughters-in-law, I want you to go back to your mother's house. What made this change? I think what Naomi is beginning to realize is that for her to make a full return to the Lord, she's got to detach herself from some things and maybe some people from enemy territory. And so she detaches herself. She tells them in verse 9, she's doing it kindly. Verse 9, may the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of your husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices, and they wept. So she's doing it kindly, but she realizes if I'm going to go back to where God wants me to be, I have to say goodbye to some things. I have to say goodbye to some places and some people in enemy territory. Now, Naomi's boys married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and so we know that Naomi had built relationships in Moab. She had a whole extended family now. She had Orpah's family. She had Ruth's family. So there's no doubt that she had, over the course of the 10 years in enemy territory, she had developed these relationships, and perhaps she had taken up a business, or perhaps she was involved in her community, and she decided, I'm going to arise, and I'm going to make a decision today to go back to where God wants me to be. And part of that decision includes the hard stuff of detaching from things that God doesn't want in my life, and maybe some people. She had to detach. She had to say goodbye to places and people in enemy territory. And then we see down in verse 11 and verse 12 that she also has to stay determined. Look what she says there in verse 13. Would you therefore refrain from marrying? Look what she says at the end of verse 13. No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. Naomi believed that the hand of God was against her. And Naomi understood that going back to the promised land, going back to the city of Bethlehem, going back to the community that I left was going to be, wow, that was going to be a hard experience. We're going to see next week that Naomi describes herself as leaving Bethlehem full. She had a husband. She had a couple of boys. And now she's coming back empty. And she realizes when she returns to Bethlehem, she's going to have to tell the story of the death of her husband and the death of her boys in the enemy territory in the land of Moab. And she's going to have to confess, I probably should have never gone. And so she realizes the return to Bethlehem is going to include some embarrassment, maybe a little bit of shame, because she knew in the first place she shouldn't have gone where she went. So there's a determination. She had to stay resolute to the full return, even if it's difficult. She acknowledges the coming embarrassment and shame that she's going to feel. But doggone it, she's going to return to the Lord. See, God's arms are always open to us. And if we drift or we run from Him, or we get to the point in our life where we give up on Him, or we shake our fist in His face and say, I don't want anything to do with you, and we move from where He wants us to be, we move into so-called enemy territory, and life becomes more difficult and strained, and we desire to return, sometimes returning back to the Lord is hard. Because it includes an acknowledgement that maybe I shouldn't have left. Maybe I've done some things I shouldn't have done. And it might be making some things right with some people and confessing that I blew it. And it's hard to take that humble pie and come back to the place where God wants us to be. And Naomi understood, and we're going to see next week, that, man, it was hard for her to go back to Bethlehem. Because she would have to acknowledge that the last 10 years of her life, she was living where God didn't want her to live. But she determined to go back anyway and face that. So her return was because she made a decision. She arose and she detached from some people and some things that kept her in enemy territory, and then she was determined to see it through. Then we turn to Ruth. Ruth, we pick up the story of Ruth in verse 14. It says, now they, the daughter-in-laws, lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth, what? What's the word there? Ruth what? Ruth clung to Naomi. She's like, no, I'm not staying. I'm going with you. And look what she says there. It says in verse 15, behold, your sister-in-law, this is what Naomi says to Ruth. Hey, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should return as well. Verse 16, Ruth gives that great response that is so famous in the Bible. But the first thing that we see is that Ruth also made a decision. She clung to Naomi. So Ruth isn't returning to God. Ruth is coming to God for the first time. Ruth grows up in enemy territory. God's been working on her life. And now Ruth has decided, I'm going all in. I'm going to go all in, and I'm going to leave my home, and I'm going to go back to the land of Israel. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem with Naomi. But look what she says in verse 16, and these are the words that we love so much from the book of Ruth. Verse 16, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. And here it is, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. And she says there, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. And then you'll notice she calls on the name of the Lord. This is so fascinating because she's a Moabite woman. Look at what she says there in verse 17. Thus may the Lord do to me. So she invokes the name of Naomi's God, the Lord, the God of Israel. It's as if Ruth has determined that the God of Israel was now her God because she's invoking his name with this pledge. May the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. What we see again in Ruth is the detachment. Not so much a detachment of the people in places of enemy territory, because she's not returning to God. She's coming to God for the first time. But you'll notice what's included in her pledge. I'm willing to leave everything behind. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Let's pause just for a second and go back to verse 10, will you? Go back to verse 10. The first time the ladies pledged to go with Naomi, look what they say. Verse 10, and they, the daughters-in-law, said to Naomi, no, but we will surely return, what's it say? With you to your people. What are they saying? They're saying, Naomi, we will go with you as you return to your people. In other words, we're just going to support you. Now, Naomi knows, wow, in the ancient world, what that would require of Naomi is now Naomi is responsible for both Orpah, I can't never say a word. Yeah? Okay? Underneath your seats, there's something that's a free ticket to get a free Bible. Orpah and Ruth's first pledge to Naomi was just to accompany her back to her people. And Naomi realizes if that's the total commitment, that means I have to be responsible for you. So stay. But Ruth doesn't say that. Ruth doesn't say, oh, I just want to help you go back to your people. Ruth says, no. Where you go, I will go. In other words, the journey is my journey too. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where we're staying tonight and tomorrow night is going to be my lodging as well. Where we stay when we get back to Bethlehem is going to be where I stay. Your people will be my people. She's going to convert to Judaism. Your God will be my God. She's going to put her entire faith, not in the gods of Moab, but in the God of Israel. And where you die, I will die. So this isn't a temporary commitment. This is my forever commitment as long as I live. And where you are buried, I will be buried. In other words, my entire ancestral future now lies in the promised land. That's how much she wants to find and follow God. She wants to leave it all behind. So Ruth's total commitment to the reset. In verse 10, they just say, we're going to help you, Naomi, return. Naomi says, no thanks. And Orpah leaves to go back to her house. Because that's the biggest commitment that Orpah wants to make. I will help you if you want me to go back to your people. And Naomi says no. But Ruth says something completely different. I am all in. Everything in my past is behind me. I want a reset and I want to become a follower of God. A follower of God. This reminds me of Jesus' talk one time. If we fast forward to the time of Jesus, there was a time in Jesus' teaching where he was drawing big crowds. But Jesus knew the hearts of people, and he knew that a lot of the people in the crowd were following him because of what he gave them. He gave them food sometimes, he did miracles, gave healing, he did some incredible teaching to give wisdom. And sometimes Jesus knew, you know, this large crowd isn't really here because they're fully devoted followers of mine. They're here because of the benefits that they get from me. So sometimes Jesus says something to kind of thin the crowd. And he thins the crowd by raising the stakes. And here's one instance. In Luke chapter 14, look what Jesus says. It says this in verse 25. Now, a large crowd were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, and he's using a figure of speech. He's using exaggeration to get his point across. He's using hyperbole. He says this in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus doesn't literally want us to hate other people because that would contradict all the other teachings that he gave to us. So obviously he's using an exaggeration here, but the point is, if I am not 100% number one in your life, don't call yourself a follower of mine. Wow. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he says, you better consider the cost. For which of you, he says, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down to consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, no one can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions. Jesus is saying, if you really want to come to me, it's got to be 100%. Jesus isn't something that we just tag on to our life. He's not just something we throw into the mix. He's not just someone we kind of add to our calendars and to our routines. And we see this in Ruth's life. We see in Ruth, everything from her past is now secondary and gone. She is giving 100% of her future to him. She wants to go and be 100% devoted to God. She wants a major reset. Now, she knows it's going to be difficult. She knows it's going to be difficult. She has to have resolve. Look at the end of our storyline today in verse 18. When Naomi saw that Ruth was what? Ruth was determined. That word is resolved. Naomi saw in Ruth that this wasn't a casual statement, that this was all in, all the time. That's what caused the reset for Ruth. And it's interesting to me, as we look at someone that wants to return to the Lord and someone who wants to come to God for the first time, the recipe is the same. There's got to be a decision, there's got to be a detachment, and there's got to be determination, because these kinds of decisions aren't easy decisions. And you know what? As we look at our life today, it's the same recipe. We often pray that God help us to either return to you or come to you for the first time or walk more deeply with you. The prayer here at Auburn Grace is that God would help us as a church help people come to God, come back to God, or walk more deeply with God. And that recipe for any one of those three is the same recipe. A decision, a firm decision has to be made. There's a stake I drive into the ground that today is the day of a fresh start. Naomi decided one day to get up and to move back to the promised land. Ruth decided one day not to go back to her house and her gods, but to cling to Naomi so she would take her to the promised land where she could live for the Lord. Then there's this detachment, things that are holding them back from that commitment, things that are holding them down. They were willing to let go. And then they had a determination. And you know, the recipe is the same for me, the same for you. You know, we don't have a promised land like Israel has. Israel has a plot of ground, some dirt. And Naomi's family knew they were leaving God's promised land, going to Moab enemy territory, and now they're returning back, and she's taking Ruth to the promised land. You and I don't have a promised land. I would say Auburn is a promised land, right? The foothills are God's country. Our promised land is internal, God's presence. God's presence in my thought life. And I know in my thought life, I can move from where God wants it to be, kind of into enemy territory. I can allow myself to be thinking about stuff, to be watching stuff, to be contemplating things that just are not part of God's plan for my life. In fact, there are temptations, there are things that God doesn't want me to have rumbling around in my brain, but they're so tempting sometimes if I'm not careful, I can find my thought life drifting into enemy territory. Can't you? And I need to return. Sometimes my heart condition and the attitudes that I have, there can be a rising up of anger, there can be bitterness, there can be lust. There's things in our hearts that aren't part of where God wants our hearts to be, and we can, if we're not careful, let them drift into enemy territory. And now I'm feeling things and expressing things that aren't part of where He wants my heart to be. There's also my habits, my actions, the things that I say, the things that I do. Sometimes if I'm not careful, and if we're not careful, our actions can move from the promised land of where God wants them to be into enemy territory. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves like Naomi and her family that first just kind of went to sojourn there. This is what we saw last week. They were just going to stay for a little while. And then all of a sudden it says they remain there. And then it tells us that they stayed there for 10 years. And they went from visiting Moab to becoming incorporated in Moab to becoming enmeshed in Moab. And last week we saw, man, we have to be careful if we let our lives drift into where God doesn't want them to be, because it can be attractive and seductive, and it can be something we say, well, I'm just going to dabble in this a little, and then all of a sudden we're there longer than we expected, and pretty soon we're enmeshed in that or immersed in that. And now it's time to return. It's time to say, today is the day for a reset. So I don't know where you are. If you're like me, we need days where we return to where God wants us to be. Amen? We need days where we return our thought life, our heart life, our actions. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been noticing that God has been knocking on the door of your heart and He's drawing you into a relationship with Him and you've been resistant to that. I want to encourage you, today is a day like Ruth for you. Where you can say, okay, Lord, I really am going to surrender everything in my life, and I'm coming 100% for you. So the question that we have this morning, is it time for a life reset? Is there an area of your life that's currently in enemy territory that God has been convicting you about, and you know you need to return? Is it an attitude, a thought life pattern, an action? Or maybe you've been resisting the Lord and pushing him away when he's been knocking on the door of your heart to come into a relationship with him for salvation. Today is the day for that reset. And here's the recipe. Decide. Make a decision. And then detach. You got to let some things go because they're dragging you down. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a habit or a hobby. Maybe it's an obsession. You've got to detach so that you can get to where God wants you to be. And then you have to be determined to see it through. And praise the Lord, God today doesn't expect us to do this in our own strength and our own power. Doesn't he give us his Holy Spirit who can empower us and strengthen us? And it can change us from depressed to joyful. It can change us from a lack of self-control to self-control. It can change us from being faithless to faithful, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't have to try and do this in our own power, but we do have to be determined to allow God to help me make the return or to make the change. Why? Because we're all on a journey. And today's journey is a reset for Naomi and for Ruth. This part of the story closes with two women taken off to journey toward God. One of them is returning, and one of them is coming to him for the first time. And maybe you're here this morning or you're watching and you can identify with Naomi that, you know what, there is a return that's needed. Or maybe you can identify with Ruth that today is the day that you're going to give up everything and follow Jesus for the first time. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Before I pray, just let me encourage you to take a moment right where you're at, reflecting on your own spiritual journey today. Is there an area of your life that you have drifted into enemy territory? Maybe it's a thought life, heart life, habits. And this morning you find yourself like Naomi. We're living in enemy territory is just getting wearisome, and you're ready to decide today to return. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he will help us make the return. This morning, let me challenge you. Is there an area of your life that needs to return to where the Lord wants it to be? And if so, make a decision today. Tell the Lord, today is the day I'm rising up. And I'm returning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been resisting God's offer of salvation. You've been resisting the total commitment he's asking of you. And you feel distant from him, but you feel him knocking on the door of your heart. He's calling you to salvation. And yes, he is requiring everything. He doesn't want to come into your life just to be an add-on. And you've been resisting coming to him. Let me encourage you. Make today the day that as Ruth clung to Naomi, you're going to now cling to Jesus. And wherever Jesus is going to take you, you're going to go. And whatever he calls upon you to do, you're going to do. Because today is the day for a reset. Today is the day for a fresh start. If that's you here this morning or you're watching, just pray to the Lord and ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin, be your Lord and your God. Tell Him you're going to forsake everything backwards and go 1,000% for Him. Receive His grace. Receive His salvation this morning. Lord, thank You for the opportunity You give to us to have fresh starts. You tell us in the Bible that Your loving kindness is fresh every morning. Your grace is filled to the brim every time the sun comes up. And today is the day of a reset. Lord, I pray that we as human beings would not harden our hearts when we sense Your call to return, when we sense the conviction of Your Holy Spirit to get an area of our life where we've been living in enemy territory to make it right with You today. And that might mean, Lord, detachment. Give us strength to detach. Give us the power of Your Holy Spirit to be determined to see it through. And Lord, I pray for those this morning that have never surrendered to You, have been resisting. May today be that day, Lord. Soften their hearts. May they recognize the beauty and the value of surrendering all to You for salvation. Thank You that You stir our hearts toward these things. Thank You that You welcome us with open arms, whether we're coming back to You or whether we're coming to You for the first time. Your arms are open to us. And when we run to You or we run back to You, Lord, we discover afresh Your grace and Your mercy and Your kindness. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of commitment, a song that says, Lord, I give my life to You. And maybe that's something you need to sing afresh today. And I'll be up here in the front if you'd like me to pray with you or for you as we close today. Let's sing.